This is Central Time. Now, health coverage was one of many issues in this week's lame duck session at the state capitol. State senators didn't follow up on outgoing Governor Walker's campaign promise to safeguard a provision in the Affordable Care Act that prevented insurance companies from denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. And the Republican-controlled legislature's move to limit the power of incoming Democratic Governor Tony Evers could impact how Medicaid is provided in the state and the state's status in a national lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. Our next guest is here to talk about the politics of healthcare and what comes next. Phil Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He's co-author of the book Obamacare Wars: Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Always good to be with you.
Well, let's talk about this pre-existing condition coverage, Phil. This is a big issue in the race for governor, the U.S. Senate for that matter, for the state legislature. Looking at the proposal in the state legislature, what would it have done? Would it have matched up the protections under the Affordable Care Act?
Well, you know, the proposal that failed was ultimately something that related very closely to what was debated in the gubernatorial campaign, really in a way that's kind of rare to see in a campaign. 2018 was really about pre-existing conditions. You had multiple ads from both Evers and Walker featuring cancer survivors, people with other disease conditions, and the idea that government should protect people with pre-existing conditions was just something that ultimately both candidates had to sort of get on board with. And so this bill that was in the state legislature and ultimately failed in the Senate would have sort of codified the idea that the state was going to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Now, one of the challenges with that is that if the state lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act, challenging its constitutionality, which is filed with a number of other states, if that was successful, even with having a pre-existing condition protection in place at the state level, the cost of covering people with pre-existing conditions would skyrocket, because if the ACA were struck down as unconstitutional, all of the subsidies that the federal government provides to people with those pre-existing conditions to take care of their premiums, they would go away. And so effectively the state would be on the hook for a high sort of cost for covering those people. And so, you know, this is, I think, a huge blow to the idea that the state legislature cares about the idea of covering people with pre-existing conditions. But again, I think codifying the lawsuit sort of illustrates that as well.
Now, this is kind of the central difficulty, right, of the Affordable Care Act. If you want to make sure everybody can get insurance coverage, even people with pre-existing conditions, that is going to cost insurers more, because those people with pre-existing conditions need more health coverage. So you got to do something. That was part of why we had the individual mandate, and that's part of why we had the subsidies. Without those things, it's really hard to pull off this pre-existing condition coverage, right?
That's right. And I mean, I think this is one of the other sort of ironies of what's going on in politics around the ACA right now, which is that one of the things the state legislature also did in this brief session was enacted this legislation that created a high-risk pool. So the idea here was that if something happens to the ACA, you know, this high-risk pool will be there and will help people cover some of these costs. But the irony there is that the high-risk pool, a significant portion of the funding for that high-risk pool comes from the ACA itself. So the state legislature just passed something that, if the lawsuit that Wisconsin is pursuing against the federal government is successful, the funding for that won't be there either. And so you have this kind of politics where Republicans are advancing the idea that we want to protect people with pre-existing conditions, we want to stabilize the individual marketplace, but they're also at the same time taking a set of actions that is pointing a gun at their own head and doing things that, if they're successful, are going to make it a lot harder to live up to some of those commitments.
We've got this lawsuit in the courts now. As you say, Wisconsin is one of many states making this constitutional challenge to the Affordable Care Act. If this went through and a court decided, yeah, Wisconsin and other states, you're right. The Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. It's gone. Without this bill passed in the legislature now, what would happen in Wisconsin? What would health care coverage look like in the state?
Well, I mean, you have to consider that there are two questions here. One is the Affordable Care Act, if it's ruled unconstitutional, does the Supreme Court strike down or does the court strike down just the section of the bill that deals with things like subsidies and the sort of provision of funding for people with pre-existing conditions in the individual market? If that's the case, I mean, that will be a significant effect on people who are purchasing coverage on the individual marketplace. But I think one question is, do they just strike down that part of the bill, or do they strike down the entire piece of legislation, in which case you'll also have people that gained coverage under the Medicaid expansion losing coverage. Now, Wisconsin didn't take the Medicaid expansion. And this is also kind of where I think what is driving politics around this is not just the court decision, but also what the state legislature is doing to the powers of the governor. And so one of the elements of the extraordinary session package was a provision that prevented Evers from trying to expand Medicaid without going through the legislature first. And so, you know, in a sense, sort of regardless of what happens with the court case, even if the court upholds the constitutionality of the ACA, a lot of the politics, at least in Wisconsin, are going to be driven by a conflict between the legislative and executive branches.
Talking to Phil Rocco right now, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University, co-author of the book Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, the Affordable Care Act. He's with us to talk about this lame duck session in the Wisconsin legislature and what it might mean for health care coverage in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the pre-existing condition bills that didn't pass in the state Senate? The Affordable Care Act lawsuit that Wisconsin is still part of, might have to stay part of despite the wishes of the governor? And how about taking that federal Medicaid money? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Right now, we continue our conversation about what healthcare could look like in the future in Wisconsin following the legislature's lame duck session. Lawmakers didn't pass a bill that would protect pre-existing conditions, and they passed bills that could block Governor-elect Tony Evers' ability to pull Wisconsin out of a lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act, also some laws on limiting the ability to accept federal Medicaid money. Our guest is Phil Rocco, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University and co-author of the book Obamacare Wars. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about what happened in the state legislature as it relates to health coverage and the Affordable Care Act, and your thoughts on what happened on those issues. 800-642-1234 is the number. To your calls now, John is with us in Appleton. John, hi.
Hi. Just a thought about the extraordinary session. If the legislature wants to play hardball, can't Tony Evers just go back to them and say that he will veto everything they submit until they give him back his powers, at which point then he could do everything he was elected to do?
John, thanks a lot for the call. Some general hardball politics there, Phil. But on health care in particular, apart from an extreme measure like a veto everything plan, apart from that, within the law as passed by the legislature now, is there much that Evers could do on health care contrary to the wishes of the legislature?
I think that the legislature, both in what it's doing and in what it's trying to signal with what it's doing, is saying to Tony Evers, over our dead bodies on this legislation. And I think that one thing that would be really interesting to do is to look at what happened when the North Carolina legislature 2 years ago did the same sort of maneuver, checking the powers of an incoming Democratic governor. And one thing that I think that governor learned in the process of taking office is that he actually benefited from going on the offensive, and in a sense, making it difficult for the legislature to govern and to really forcing voters to sort of take a look at that legislature in a little bit of a different way. I think, you know, legally with some of these maneuvers, I think it's difficult for Evers to sort of challenge them in a legal sense. But I think there are examples of where governors have sort of tried to combat this attempt to limit their power. And, you know, some maneuvers are more successful than others, but Evers does have a sort of a set of evidence that he can draw on to think about what he's going to do.
One more piece of legislation passed that we haven't gotten into has to do with work requirements for people receiving Medicaid via Wisconsin. That's Badger Care. What happened there?
So when the last budget passed, the Wisconsin State Legislature gave a sort of mandate to the executive branch to prepare this waiver that would alter some parts of Badger Care, including requirements that required people to work in exchange for their eligibility. And what the legislature did in this piece of legislation was they said that very vague, flexible thing that the executive branch could design however it wished, depending on the evidence it collected. The legislature sort of ratcheted that down and said you have to include these particular provisions, and if you want to make any changes, you have to go through us. So what it did was it really limited the executive branch's power to make what it deemed to be the most sound sort of evidence-based policy. And I think one of the challenges here is that work requirements in Medicaid are sort of dubiously legal, and there have been legal challenges to work requirements in Medicaid in states like Kentucky. There's another case that's currently playing out in Arkansas. And so what the legislature is now stipulating the governor must do is advance a law that is actually sort of in the process of being challenged in the courts in other states, and create some barriers to access that may in fact violate the Medicaid statute itself. And this is why you kind of saw a huge coalition of interest groups from hospitals, insurers, the American Cancer Society, and a variety of other disease groups saying, you know, this is a huge change to the policy related to Medicaid in Wisconsin, and it was sort of pushed through in a matter of 4 days with no real analysis of how it's going to affect the coverage that people are able to receive or the budget of the state. And so there's a lot of interest group pressure. Interest groups that really deal with healthcare on a day-to-day basis weren't consulted. And so I think what will be interesting to see is how that big health-oriented coalition of patients, providers, and insurers, sort of what they do in the next sort of 3 to 6 months to mobilize an effort to try to get the legislature to maybe unwind what it's pushing forward here.
Phil, we'll leave it there for now, but watch your inbox for the next 3 to 6 months. I'm sure we'll be in touch with you again.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
That's Phil Rocco, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University and co-author of the book Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. He joined us to talk about what the future of health coverage could be in Wisconsin following this week's lame duck session in the legislature. A lot happened there, including a bunch of provisions related to health coverage in the state.